It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host on the WGN Radio 720 out of Chicago. Thanks for being with me this morning. It was inevitable, and I say this because we've talked about it a lot, and that is the move to renewable energies, which I'm all for. And I always say, as many of us know, the devil's in the details. Well, many of the organizations that have been the most vocal for moving to solar and wind as alternative energy are now in shock. And I use that word not lightly, because the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, has announced its Western Solar Plan, and the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership and others who have been huge proponents of renewable energy. The question always is where, right? And it's not in my backyard. All of a sudden, when the BLM announced their plan this week, they went nuts. And why? Because the BLM land management plan for where to put solar farms in the American West could be one of the worst environmental practices the government has thought of in a long time. As proposed, 1.1 million acres of migration corridors and 4 million acres of winter range for some of the West's most well-known big game herds, and also herds that are in some cases in population declines, will be severely impacted by the Bureau of Land Management's plan for where they want to put solar farms. That coming from the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. And folks, they are 100% correct. The Bureau of Land Management wants to put solar farms across Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon, Utah, Washington, and Wyoming. And they want to do it on a scale that is absolutely unimaginable to deliver energy, sustainable energy for the rest of America. The wildlife community, the conservation community, and yes, even the environmental community that has been pushing for this is saying, you can't do this. This will destroy the American West and destroy wildlife populations in extremely important areas. I think if we think back over a number of shows I've done over the past few months, I've been saying that this is coming and that there's no plan in place to how we're going to do this. Well, the BLM put out its first plan, and it better be dead on arrival, or we're going to see the absolute destruction of wildlife corridors across the West. In Arizona, they want to put 2.3 million acres of BLM ground under solar farms. In Nevada, they want to put 7 million acres under development. In Oregon, 714,000 acres. In Idaho, 1.47 million acres is to be developed for solar across the BLM lands of Idaho. In New Mexico, they want to put 3 million acres. Colorado, well, they're spared, 548,000 acres. Wyoming, another 3 million acres. Interestingly, in their list of places they want to put this, they didn't put California down, but we know that's coming. So there is no way in the world that we are going to allow the destruction of wildlife corridors on a scale that is unprecedented around the world so that we can produce some renewable energy from the sun. It's not going to happen. At least I don't think it's going to happen. But the Bureau of Land Management either did one of two things, and I don't think the first is likely. They either did this to shock people to say how absurd the idea is that we're going to have all these transmission lines and these huge solar farms across the American West, or they did it because they really believe it. Well, there's not a chance that the people in these states or the conservation community at large, and when I say the conservation community at large, I mean both the environmental community, which includes organizations that frequently are at odds with the conservation community, groups such as the Sierra Clubs, Defender of Wildlife, they're not going to be in favor of this. So it is improbable that this is going to happen anytime soon, and I can only imagine litigation that's going to come. you're going to have what I often consider to be the fringe radical environmental groups, Sierra Club, Defenders of Wildlife, organizations that don't do any habitat work but do a lot of litigation. And often they're at odds with the mainstream conservation organizations such as the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, Ducks Unlimited, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, National Audubon Society, Nature Conservancy. All of these organizations are going to come together and say, are you out of your mind that you think you're going to put this kind of a solar landscape on our public lands in the American West, and that we're going to have the destruction of wildlife habitat corridors on a scale that's absolutely unprecedented while we lecture the rest of the world on how they ought to manage their landscapes? I don't think it's going to happen. But anyway, the BLM has fired, if you will, they have fired the first shot on what is going to be a highly contentious discussion. But it does come back to the number one question, and that is, if we are going to move to sustainable energy, where is the sustainable energy going to come from? It's not going to come from areas that are densely populated because people won't tolerate it, as I did my tongue-in-cheek April Fool's Day story about the gigantic wind farm off the Gold Coast of Chicago. Of course, that's not going to happen. But also from an environmental point of view for wildlife. We can't go and just say, well, these areas don't have any people living in them, so therefore they're perfect for wind and solar. It's going to destroy the wildlife corridors of land animals in the American West. And for avian, for birds, we still have no information of any kind on what the impacts are on migratory waterfowl and other birds of these enormous wind farms that are going up in highly trafficked migratory corridors such as the Illinois River, which I've talked about before, one of the biggest migratory corridors in all of the world for migratory birds. And we put these huge wind farms up at the headwaters of the Illinois. We've done that without any thought to what the environmental and consequences might be. You couldn't put an oil well there, and certainly the BLM would not come out with a plan to take tens of millions of acres of the American West and put them under oil and gas exploration. But that's what we're going to do here with renewable energy. So I think that this is going to get really complicated pretty quickly, because I can't imagine if you're sitting in Idaho, you're going to allow 1.47 million acres, and mostly in the area of southern Idaho, the biggest mule deer population corridor in all of Idaho. Or if you're in New Mexico, you're not going to allow 3 million acres in some of the most important wintering range habitat for elk to be destroyed. Anyway, the BLM announced this, and they have heard loud and clear in a hurry from the conservation community that people are not at all happy. I also wanted to mention just for a moment before I go to the break, things don't happen unanimously very often in the House of Representatives. In fact, I think it's pretty hard to think of anything unanimously occurring in Washington these days. But the House has passed, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bipartisan bill called the Explore Act. And I always love these acronyms, Explore Act, which is to improve access to outdoor recreation. The Explore Act is designed to make it easier for Americans to recreate in what is a changing and a breakneck speed, said Becky Humphreys, who's president and CEO of the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. The designation of the Explore Act is to ensure that agencies and the public have the tools through technology that they need to keep up with the changing recreation patterns of our nation, how you access our national parks, how you access our national forests, how to utilize them. All of this is changing really quickly as we're finding so many Americans are going into our public places and overrunning them. We need to have technology to better be able to manage this traffic. It's also going to talk about expanding the availability of public shooting ranges on BLM and forest lands. And it's going to allow states and counties to conduct recreational infrastructure enhancement and improvements on their public lands. So it's not often that things happen unanimously, but in House of Representatives, they did pass it unanimously. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show. And when I do, I'm going to talk a little bit about groundwater in Florida and also in the Northeast. And a couple of things that are taking place, Vermont being one of them, where they have decided that they're going to go against the traditional ways to manage wildlife. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here, your host on WGN Radio, the outdoor voice of Chicago and America. Hope you're enjoying the show. I'm going to switch a little bit to groundwater. There's a new study out that's getting some attention, which is talking about how quickly we're depleting groundwater in certain areas of America and why that is leading to such enormous subsidence, and how it's also going to impact coastal flooding. And if sea levels do rise, as it appears they definitely are, it also is going to make it even worse. So a scientist described to me the other day that in the Northeast, the ground should actually be rising. And while this happened tens of thousands of years ago, when the glaciers left, they took their weight off the land. And over time, thousands and thousands of years, that causes the land to actually rise ever so subtly. But that's not occurring because so much groundwater has been pumped for all of humanity on the East Coast of America that we are seeing subsidence now taking place when, in fact, land should be rising. And in Florida, it is believed to be potentially a major problem. Florida, even though it sits where it sits, surrounded by water, Florida is going to run out of water, run out of fresh water. The amount of pumping coming out of the underground aquifers in Florida is now clearly causing land to subside. You've heard about sinkholes in Florida and other things. But there is no question, according to the studies being done, that Florida is on a path of unsustainability when it comes to water usage. So here's a place where it rains a lot, surrounded by the ocean. Of course, that's salt water. But Florida, if they keep up at this rate, is likely in the coming decades, keep pumping at this rate, is likely in the coming decades to actually start sinking. And sinking is not going to do well when you have rising sea levels. So I just wanted to mention that as something to think about. In Illinois, we got some fabulous news. We have a ward of major proportions. The Prairie State Conservation Coalition is going to receive $42 million. And the Prairie State Conservation Coalition is a group of organizations that are dedicated to doing work in the state, improve access to state parks, improve management of public areas. It's basically to improve outdoor recreation, the quality of recreation, the quantity of recreation, how to utilize it. This comes from the Illinois Clean Energy Community Foundation, which is part, all of this comes out of taxes that are placed on the use of fossil fuels, natural gas. So it's a big deal for the foundation to get $42 million, which will be dispersed now to various entities to be used to improve the quality of life in Illinois. And isn't that a nice thing to hear, that we're going to improve the quality of life in Illinois? So many states are so far ahead of us when it comes to how they manage their natural resources. Illinois has been lagging behind for a long time. Our state parks, go up to a beautiful Zion Beach State Park, or the Cullerton Complex up in northeastern Illinois. You go down to southern Illinois and utilize our state parks, and then you go somewhere else and you realize we're not up to speed with a lot of places. So this will help. It's really not going to fix the problem, but it undoubtedly will help. In Arkansas, an amazing thing happened this past week. The Arkansas Game and Fish Commission basically overruled the state's bureaucrats when it comes to the managing of waterfowl. And in Arkansas, waterfowl, or let's just take the waterfowl word out, duck hunting in Arkansas is about the state's most important activity. It's a huge deal economically. It's a big deal culturally. Arkansas, what happens in Arkansas, how it affects duck management and wetland management often is what is a trendsetter in America. And their Fish and Game Commission last week voted tentatively to reduce the limits on mallards, keeping the total mallard bag at 4 ducks, but reducing the hen limit from 2 to 1. And they also wanted to change how their hunting season dates occur. This is a big deal for Arkansas, and it's actually a big deal for America. I've advocated for a long time, as have many, that there's no reason not to try to protect hens of all species to the greatest extent possible. They are the breeding stock. We don't shoot hen turkeys. We don't shoot hen pheasants. Why do we permit? You have to permit the shooting of hen waterfowl because of the way the birds fly and often the light is such you can't tell the difference. But why do we permit it from beyond being an accident into actually saying, well, you can have 2 accidents every day, as we've done for quite a while with the mallard population. So Arkansas is saying we want to do our part as the most important state to wintering mallards on the continent. We send more mallards back north who utilize Arkansas than any other place in the Mississippi Flyway. Let's send as many hen mallards back north as we can. And also by shortening the season, which they've done from the running to the 31st of January, they've cut it back a week. All science shows the later you go in January on shooting ducks, the greater the impact you're having on that next spring's breeding population, because the ducks that have survived to the end of January have a pretty high chance of surviving it to making it back to the prairies to breed. A duck you shoot in October, November, December, they still have a long way to go. So Arkansas, by moving earlier, a week earlier closing, is definitely going to help the population as far as hens, enabling birds to go back north. And also by reducing the limit from 2 to 1, they're going to help there as well. So hopefully Arkansas follows through on the recommendations of its Game and Fish Commission. It is absolutely terrific to see them take this leadership and to help secure the future of waterfowl. I'm afraid I'm out of time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back next week with much more on the Great Outdoors Show. This is Charlie Potter in the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.